You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio.
London, I can't find your walk-in music this time.
Do you need me to sing it? Because I will freestyle it.
Yeah, okay, so go ahead, man, sing it.
Vanilla ice, ice, baby, too cold, too cold. Carl the Madman,
awesome.
MMA Madhouse, Saturday night, 10:30 p.m. on Full Guard Fight Radio. How are you, my friend? Good to hear your voice. Good to catch up with you this week. What's going on, man?
Oh, what's going on? That was some major scrambling going on there in the last few minutes to get here. I tell you, holy crap!
Bro,
I'm so unready.
No, dude, you're good. I mean, that's the way you roll here on Full Guard Fight Radio. Listen, we are so unorthodox here. I was just sending you messages. I got home late from work. I'm scrambling myself. Poor Josh is probably sitting over there thinking, just beating his head against the wall, thinking, what in the hell is going on? That's just the way we roll. We just do. We just get on and we talk. I mean, that's how you know we're not scripted. Because we literally, 4 minutes ago, I sent you a message that said, yes, I'm good. Are you ready to go? And you said, not really. Let's figure it out. So we are here.
Oh.
It is Saturday night, 10:30 p.m. We're up against Zuffa. And I'm very excited about this because you have a great show ahead of us. Strictly V3 fights. And I got to be honest with you. I promised last week that I would watch and I would catch up on some V3 fights. I turned them on all week. My son, I got a little boy that's going to be one next week. I got a son that's seven. We sat around and watched V3 fights a lot of the week this week. And I'm excited to talk V3 fights. So we're up against Zuffa. We're going to do better numbers than Zuffa. We're going to kick some ass. And we're just going to talk V3 tonight, so I'm very excited about it. Carl, let's get Josh in here and get it going, man.
Let's do that. Whoa.
Joshua, you there, my friend?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Man, yeah. I am here. I'm ready to go. I am just fired up, ready to talk V3 fights. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Man, I couldn't be better. I couldn't be happier. I'm talking local MMA. I'm talking incredible local MMA. I got a guy who really focuses on V3, and you're going to be there. And what is it, next week or the week prior? Or the week
it's
after,
next
I mean.
Weekend.
Next weekend. All right, so we're 1 week out. So we got a great show ahead of us. We got two fighters tonight, and we have the owner, promoter. We got some good stuff going on, so I'm very excited about it. I appreciate you coming back with us. I didn't scare you away last week, huh?
Oh, no, you didn't. I enjoyed it last week.
Yeah, I had a good time. And did you get a chance to listen to the JT Warsh interview after you had, I know you had to get off a little bit early last week, but did you get a chance to listen, or Or were you not able to listen last week?
No, I had to. I had a few things I had to do, but I did not get to listen.
Man.
I'll be here for the whole show this time, so.
No, absolutely, man. And you know what? I promised you last week that I was going to catch up on some V3 stuff, and I did. I watched. I can only remember his nickname, the main event. We're going to have him on tonight. I don't remember what his first name is. I just remember his nickname is the main event. I watched a bunch of his fights tonight.
Jaleel Willis?
No, his nickname. I had a chance to watch a bunch of fights this past week, so I'm very excited about. Let me tell you one about V3. I'm very impressed. I didn't know anything about him. So this week I get home from work, I get the kids, and you know my sons they like MMA, and you know, I grab the iPad, I plug it into the TV, so we're watching some V3 fights. And I was really impressed with the professionalism, with the feeds, the way the fighters were introduced. I mean, introductions. You know, one of the fights had Herbin as a referee. I mean, you know, just very professional. wasn't half-assed. They had an incredible cage. They had incredible HD cameras. They had, you know. They were just top-notch professional stuff. So I see why you enjoy being there. I see why you enjoy, you know, talking with the guys and meeting up with them. So very excited to talk to a couple more fighters tonight. The owner and – go ahead, bud.
V3 is – I think they are one of the best MMA productions around. I mean, they are, like you said, very top-notch. They – always have special guests there. Last time I went, they had the Memphis Grizzlies in the house, which is pretty cool. And like I said, they're very top-notch.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more because it was really, you know, very professional. It was just like, you know, I was watching, you know, what do I say, Bellator? Do I say, I mean, clearly it's not UFC caliber. I mean, they just have, you know, hand-over-fist kind of money. But, I mean, you know, Victory was... They were very legit. They were nothing to, you know, shake a stick at. So I was very impressed with them. I'm looking to follow up on last week's conversations about, you know, I know we have, I know we're having tonight the promoter Ron Galvin. I think that's his name. I'm terrible with names. I feel terrible. I think we're having Ron Galvin on tonight. I know we're going to do some other stuff with Victory. But are you? Are you following? Did you follow anything with Zuffo at all? Did you watch the prelims or anything?
I did watch some of the prelims. I didn't get a chance to watch the main card, but the prelims were pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. Some of the prelims were good. It was some striking and whatnot. But you know, I'm not worried about that. There's a pay per view on tonight. I'm not even worried about that. We're going up head to head with Zuffo. And we're going to talk Victory all night long. So I know we're going to do better numbers than they do. I think we have I'm not sure if Nick is ready. Nick, are you there?
I'm here.
Nick, how are you, my friend?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, man. So, Nick, I want to welcome you to Full Guard Fight Radio. I want to thank you for taking time out of your Saturday night to come here and talk to us about these three fights, Victory. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you do with the company, how you got yourself started.
Well, you know, we started V3 Fights 4 years ago. How I kind of got into the whole MMA promotion business was I was doing a lot of PR work at the time, and then FedEx Forum in Memphis, which is where the Memphis Grizzlies play. The owner of it wanted to bring a UFC fight to Tennessee or to the FedEx Forum. So he went out, got a lobbyist. They lobbied to get a commission because, as a lot of people know, the UFC runs the commission, where our commission states. And I worked hand-in-hand with the lobbyist. She kind of called me in. I brought in Rampage Jackson. We went to state legislature and, you know, did the whole horse and pony show. got legalized, saw how, you know, how big it was out west, and, you know, was seeing how the success that UFC and Zuffa and all those guys had going on with it. And I've always just been a big fan of, you know, wrestling myself, as far as like collegiate wrestling and everything. And then, you know, just kind of took frustration. Now this is where we're at today. We've been doing the V3 fights for 4 years. And, man, we put a lot of time, a lot of hard work into the production, into the matching the best fights. And, you know, we got a great team. So that's really where our success is derived from, is our team.
Nick, let me ask you a question. You started V3 fights 4 years ago. Did you ever think that – let me ask you this. Let me start here. When you envisioned your fight promotion, I don't know if Victory or V3 was the promotion you wanted to – you know, that was the name and that's the way you wanted to work. But when you envisioned your promotion, did you realize that you guys were going to be, like, in 4 short years, you guys are legit promotion. I mean, I watched a lot of your stuff this week with my boys, and I was very impressed. I was really impressed by the professionalism of everybody involved, the cameraman, the ring announcer, I mean, everybody. Is that kind of the way immediately you wanted to go, or was that an unexpected surprise?
Well, you know, we always knew that having a tight production was what was going to make us very popular and was going to attract the best fighters to us. So we took the investment from the get-go on, you know, we were filming for live TV a year before we ever did anything live, really, on TV at all. So, but we were just doing it because we knew what we wanted to do. We knew what our goal was and what better way to work out the kinks and everything from there on. And, again, we've been very lucky in the business because a lot of our partners are huge fans of mixed martial arts. They're very passionate about it. And so they've worked through a lot of the steps with us also. And, again, you know, we have a very, very special team at V3 Fights, and I think that's what really makes us special.
I don't know the whole history behind your organization. Is it family? You say a special team. Is it a family team, or did you just, like, by the grace of God, just meet up with some great people to kind of put this incredible promotion together?
That's exactly what it was. I've always worked in the sports entertainment business. I've worked at a couple of different arenas and everything. And
sure.
I was working at our AAA baseball stadium, and that's how I met the matchmaker. We talked back and forth about, you know, a lot of stuff. Rod Galvin, who does all of our PR work, he used to write a lot of articles and stuff about us, and we just saw, you know, how great of an asset he beat our company, so we were able to, you know, snag him up and bring him in V3 Fights. The guy that does all our production stuff, same thing. I just met him through different events and stuff from, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies and everything. And, you know, and we just kept scooping up like that. Or we got Mike King, who's one of our big sales guys. He's, you know, again, just someone that kind of we stumbled across. And by the grace of God, we landed him also on our team. So,
isn't it incredible that it's not who you know? It's kind of like what you stumble yourself into. And I got to be honest with you, my 7-year-old son, who, you know, if it's not Mario, he doesn't want to be bothered with it. But I got to be honest with you. I was watching a bunch of fights this past week with him, and he was really hooked, and he was really like, you know, oh, Dad, this is fun. And, you know, I can't get him to sit down and watch, you know, one of the, you know, finger quotes big shows, but he was hooked when I was watching V3. So I got to be honest with you. You guys did a great, you know, you guys put on a great few events that I was able to catch and things like that. So I'm really excited about talking the event you have coming up. I think it's next weekend. Is that correct?
You say the matchmaking?
Yeah, this
next weekend. Yes, next weekend. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is, again, I think, is something special about us is we, you know, our guys that fight for us are young. I mean, I like to think we're like the collegiate level of MMA. You know, we're not the retirement home of a UFC or a Bellator or anything like that. What we have is just young, up-and-coming, good, hungry guys, and that's what makes the fight so dang exciting is these guys, you know, they're fighting at a whole new level. They don't really have any bitter taste in their mouth with MMA. I'm sure you guys have known a ton of fighters that have been in the business for 7, 8, 10-plus years, and they have a little bitterness to them. These guys are fresh. You know, they're excited about it. They're super hungry. They want these wins. They want these big fights. And, you know, next weekend we have Jaleel Willis and Eli McLaughlin. And you couldn't pick two better fighters from our organization. And then they're fighting each other. It's going to be fireworks that night.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. And I want to talk to you more about that. And I got to be honest. I talked to Eli McLaughlin last week, and he was super pumped. And he was, you know, he's very reserved, very respectful, you know, very respectful of Jaleel. And, you know, it was like, he's done this for his entire life. But the kid was like, what, 23 maybe, 25? I don't know, in that area. But, I mean, he's a grown man in this business. And, I guess what I'm saying is, Eli last week just portrayed your company. When I watched it this week, it's just very professional. And, you know, he walked the walk, you know, finger quotes, walked the walk. But I think this week he talked the talk, and I think this week he's going to walk the walk too. So, I mean, just, I guess, give yourself a pat on the back, because it starts with you, my friend. And, you know, we're talking here for just a couple minutes, and you're already as professional as they can be. So I think you guys got a great thing going on. So let me know. Last week we had Eli McLaughlin on. This week we have Rudy, who is his brother. And, you know, I'm very excited to talk this card. So tell me how you make this card, how you come up what's the word I'm looking for, the parameters of who you're looking to fight. I mean, you kind of have this grand scheme that you want to kind of work in, or is this just the way things kind of fall?
Well, you know, we are blessed with, I think, the region of the United States we're in, as we have just a lot of scrappers. But, you know, as far as the card being made, I can't take any credit for that. Chan Wason is our matchmaker. He is the mastermind behind it. What we've done really well is we've taken these guys and we've attracted the best fighters, you know, I think in the Southeast region, some from the Midwest. And we've got them to come in here, and they know that's kind of their test is come and fight for us. If they could win a couple fights with us, you know, they're ready to kind of take that next step up in the ladder. So that's where we've kind of played ourselves in the industry, and that's where we've been lucky in getting a lot of these great fighters and great matchups. Again, you know, it's young guys that are very talented, and they're ready to, we're getting the guys that – take themselves very seriously. They're at the beginning of their career, and they know that, it's sink or swim by the time they're fighting for us. You know, I think a lot of guys, by the time they fight for us, they realize they either want to do it for a living or they don't want to do it anymore at all. So we kind of weed out the bad ones pretty quickly, and then some of these good ones stick along with us, like a Rudy McLaughlin. And, those guys continue to grow with us as we grow, too, because we still have a lot of work and a lot of growing to do ourselves. So, all we do is keep plugging along just like the fighters do. Our organization is treated just like a fighter is treated. You know, we get in, we train day in, day out, and the night of the fight, we all get in there and, give it 100%.
Hey, Nick. This is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
You talk about working in the future. I've heard there's some maybe future in the future that y'all might be doing some pro shows. Can you tell me more about that, or is that something kind of kept secret? Or
no, I mean it's not too much of a secret. You know, we when we first started V3 Fights, we were going to do straight up pro shows, and then we got talking to pro fighters, and man, they just wanted a crazy amount of money, and everyone was kind of had ego about it, so we rethought our business plan. But now looking forward, we're kind of on our third generation of fighters kind of coming through the cycle with us. And as these fighters are going pro, it makes sense for us now to go pro because we have such depth around us of these great fighters. And, you know, we've busted our tails on promoting these fighters. And that a handful of more pros, we think – not only do we owe it for ourselves, but we owe it to these fighters to turn pro, and, you know, for us to grow as an organization, we can't just stay amateur. You know, we need to go pro. We need, again, I think, you know, our niche in the market is to be a collegiate level mixed martial arts. and stay true to it. You know, we don't want to just go and, you know, I love him to death, but we don't want to just go and grab Rampage now because he's not fighting for the UFC. He's got a big name. That's not what we want. We want, again, these young guys that are the up-and-coming guys of mixed martial arts.
Now, is there a certain date that we can look for a pro show coming soon, or is that maybe like a year from now? Or
no, I mean, we're looking we've been plugging away pretty hard, but it's going to happen in January. And, you know, when we go pro, you know, we bust our tail with the amateur stuff. So when we go pro, it's going to be super tight, and we're not going to do one of these – we're not going to be one of those promotions to go out here and put on two or three pro shows, and then, you know, we're done and we're off the map. You know, we're going to go out here, we're going to – that's why we've been tactical about it and taking our time with it and, again, treating our organization just like a fighter would treat his – career. And we're getting in here, we're taking a couple hits on the chins here and there, but you know, we're divvying out punches just as hard as we can also. So we're going to be there in January.
Okay.
And it will be in Memphis too, our first one.
I'm sorry, let me ask you, was that something that you really wanted to focus on when you started these? You know, your promotion, that you wanted to move professional, or was local? And because I've heard you say a couple times in tonight's interview that college or collegiate or that, I mean, you've mentioned that a couple times. So was that something that you really wanted to focus on, or did you want to always move professional?
We've always had, you know, that goal of going professional down the road. We never knew what was going to happen. At the same time, you know, maybe we did the amateur and we blew it up so much that we just stayed amateur. But I think in this business, you almost have to be a professional level to get a little more of a media attention on it, because we have the product. V3 Fights has the product. I think 100% we have the product. We have the team. You know, we are the organization to do it. But I think to get a little more respect, I think we do have to go pro, which is, you know, totally understandable. And I think we can do it, and we can do it very successfully in the type of niche we want to do it, you know, do it as.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% that you guys have absolutely the product to move forward. And, you know, I just keep going back to the fact that the amateur base that you started it, and the guys that you're working with now, I mean, like Eli and I can't remember the young lady's name that we talked to last week. I'm sore and terrible with names. I can't remember, but just the fire and the passion that they had for your organization and the way that you treat them as amateurs is just, you know, it's a pat on your back, and over and over and over again, I just hear nothing but good things about V3 and Victory. So I think that you're doing a good thing. I think you're moving in the right direction. And I think you really have a great business plan, that you're not jumping ahead of yourself, you know, in a proverbial jumping the shark, that,
yep,
you're taking it one step at a time. So
slow and
I
steady,
think,
just like Tortoise.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you guys got the business plan what's the word? I'm stumbling over my words tonight, for goodness sake. You guys are absolutely have, you know, blinders on, and you're just moving full speed ahead. So, I can't foresee anything, you know, stepping in your way. So, I don't know. Josh, you'd let me.
It means a lot if you guys say something like that, too, because, you know, we had Herb Dean come out a couple fights ago and ref some fights. And as soon as he walked in, and, you know, we pack out the house where we do the fights at. The place we do fights at, we can get about 1,500 people in there. It's packed wall to wall every time we throw a fight there. Herb Dean was like, this is like a baby UFC. There's nothing amateur about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's what we want to do. Go ahead.
Nick, now correct me if I'm wrong. Most of the promotions is televised, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, it goes back and forth. We've done some television with Comcast Sports South, and that's where we did a lot with. And we have a really good relationship with them. it just bounces back and forth as far as, you know, when we televise it and what we decide to televise and so forth and so on. We were pretty hardcore with them at the beginning of the year, but, of course, as football season kind of picks up, we kind of get thrown on the back burner a little bit. So it is what it is.
Do y'all do any work with, like, AXS TV or anything like that, or maybe something like that in the future?
Yeah, well, we've, you know, we send them, they ask for any of our highlights of these younger guys. Again, that's another thing where AXS doesn't really pick us up because we're not from. They're like, hey, you know, we need you. When I talked to Andrew, the president there, he's like, you know, I think you got everything's great what you're doing, but we need you to be pro. But they still, Inside MMA still airs any highlight that I ever send them because, again, we have a really good relationship with them and, you know, we have a good product. You know, we had those guys coming out to our fights when we were doing it, when we kind of first started up, and it was kind of more of an underground fight whenever we were trying to, trying to build it in Memphis. So, but we also, you know, we stream it live on TV. We're working with Go Fight Live for this fight coming up next week. But, you know, one of the big things we do is we film it all like it's for live TV. And we, you know, we put that stuff on YouTube for everyone to check out.
Now, do y'all sell, like DVDs at the fights also, like where people can maybe purchase, like, maybe the last event that y'all had or something?
We do, but we also make it public. We just make it public and throw it right on YouTube. That way everyone can kind of go on and check it out. And, you know, we think that, you know, with the good old World Wide Web, you know, that's one of our tools that we can really push our name and push these fighters that are out here, you know, putting on the line for us every day and also just how we can continue to push our product. And, you know, like you guys were talking about earlier, you watch some of the fights and we're drawn into it. So that's kind of what we're hoping to do with our YouTube videos.
Hey, Nick, you don't make the fight. You're not a matchmaker. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So next week at Minglewood Hall, tell me the fight you're most looking forward to. You got a great card. I mean, you got Jaleel and Eli, and you have Jeremiah and I don't even know what his Ostrowski.
Ostrowski.
Yeah,
that's going to be a great fight too. But the fight I'm looking forward to the most is Eli and Jaleel, hands down. If there are two guys that I could pick off that card that I could bet on and say they're going to be in the UFC one day, I would bet on those two guys. You know, unless something just happens to them in their career, they have some kind of, you know, off-the-wall, you know, issue or something. But both of them are extremely talented. Both of them come from awesome camps. And, I mean, they're just – both of them have heavy hands. They got, you know, some killer kicks. It's just – They have what it takes to be successful in mixed martial arts. I mean, strong wrestling, great stand up, you know, great, you know, strong jiu-jitsu. So I think that fight is so well matched that the MMA gods are just setting us up for that fight. I was pretty excited when I heard it happen. When Chan told me, you know, this fight's gonna happen, I was like, man, I hope no one tries to take it. And a few people tried to take it, other organizations, but both those guys love us, and, you know, they know that fight has been, you know, has been made through the V3 channel. So, you know, they both earned it, and that's why it's the main event of, you know, next week's fight.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that Eli McLaughlin, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Jaleel Willis, but he was a very respectful, not even of me, just of the sport and of your organization and you know, whatever he was doing. And I really believe that, you know, I didn't realize that, to be honest with you, after talking with both of your fighters last week and when I went back and watched a lot of your events this past week, that you guys are an amateur promotion. And it was incredible because, you know, as I sit here and talk to them and then I sit and watch your events, I was kind of dumbfounded. So I just want to say I appreciate your events, and I'm very much looking forward to watching next week on GFL. But I want to ask just a real quick question, kind of like I don't want to say a goofy question, but do you really kind of, you know, we talked to Eli last week, and I want to I'm going to talk to his brother this week about his dad picking the music, man. Do you kind of be sit back and be like, damn, why are you picking that kind of shitty music? Or is that kind of like some stuff that you're just good with and you just let it roll? Because, you know, I mean, you know, as an owner, you got to say, this is my promotion, but, you know, you got to sit back and be like, well, you know, shake your head kind of like, what are you thinking?
You know? Well, you know, the funny thing is you know, I don't care as long as it's clean. You know, we do have atmosphere that's for all ages, so we want it to be clean music. But it throws a wrench almost at everybody. So it's pretty comical because, you know, all these guys all night are coming out to these hardcore songs, and then this guy walks up like Dancing Queen. You're like, what the hell is going on? You know, so
he was telling us last week that it was like his dad picked like, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club.
Yeah. So he had another teammate that fought also with us, Wade Johnson, who's a pro fighter now that's extremely talented, and he did the same thing. So that's kind of a part of their camp. And, you know, Willie, who does it all, I think that's how he kind of loosens them up. I mean, that's my thought of it. That's how he loosens his fighters up a little bit to, you know, take the fight serious, but also, you know, go in here, be humble, be ready, you know, enjoy it, have fun. That's what you're here to do. So,
hey, Nick, I know, like, I've heard some rumors that y'all used to work with now pro fighter Jacob Mowey. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, we. This is another thing we've done a couple times for some pro fighters that have come to us and said, you know, hey, you know, we want to go train here, we want to go train there. I had some pretty strong contacts with Quentin Jackson. So Jacob Mowey had kind of gone through some issues and stuff, and we kind of, you know, we push him in a couple of right directions and everything. Of course, we're not going to hold anyone's hand in this sport. You know, it's every man's job to own up and do his own thing. So we can't really take credit for anything, but we've helped Noe. We've sent him out to a couple of strong camps. But we've done that for a handful of other pro fighters too, where we've sent them to go try out for, you know, UFC and stuff like that. And that's just, you know, we love this sport. We're not, you know, I work at another real job too. This isn't what I'm going to do full time. I hope it is one day, but you know, I'm humble about it. And whatever, any chance we get, you know, we're going to try and push someone in the right direction that we think, you know, deserves it, or that will go and represent it well and represent themselves well. Because, again, I can't say enough, we're passionate about mixed martial arts.
Now, I know you have a few really talented fighters that have fought for y'all. Maybe one in person is Ronnie Lawrence. And do you expect to do anything like that for any future fighters that it might be going pro? Or,
well, you know, so say if Ryan Lawrence came to us and said, we just had this happen with Brian Hall. Brian Hall fought for us, and he went out there for the UFC trials, and he had called me up and he's like, hey, you know, can you guys give me my airfare and maybe give me a hotel out there for a couple of days? And I was like, you know, let me look into it. And I talked about with our team and everything, because we also have to be fair when we do this stuff. And we talked about it, and, you know, everyone was like, hey, let's do it. But Ronnie Lawrence is another prime example. Again, these guys are amateur fighters for us, so we feel we put it to them also. But Ronnie Lawrence, that guy unbelievably talented, quick, and just well-rounded fighter. If he asked us to do something for him, hands down, without a doubt, we would do it for him. If, you know, given we had the means of whatever he was needing.
Hey, Nick, that was kind of the way I wanted to end the interview. I kind of wanted to know, you know, you own this. You kind of empower some of your staff, and you say, you know what, do what's best for our organization, not my, our. You don't work for me, you work with me kind of thing. But
yeah,
when you sit back and the event goes off and you're like, you know, you scratch your head about something, you know, specific, or do you feel like, you know, just what, you know, you put all this power within these workers? I guess what I'm asking is, how do you feel day of the show when you sit back and you say, this is the product I'm putting out? What gives you the most heartburn?
What gives me the most what?
heartburn, like headache, pulling your hair out kind of stuff.
When my team fights with one another, that gives me it's like a family almost. You know, so whenever these guys are starting to argue with one another, it's like stop, everyone quit it. Remember what we're here for. Do your job. Let's do it. But you know, I empower these guys because they're the best at what they're doing. You know, it's almost like, you know, I could probably learn how to matchmake and take all that time and stuff, but I don't want to learn that stuff. I want to promote it. That's where I'm best focused on, is promoting it and managing the team. And you know, I could probably work with Mike King and, you know, try to go out and get all these other sponsors and stuff, but he's the best at it. And you know, I give these guys the tools to do it. I'll coach any of them and help them out wherever I can, or I'll try to push them towards, you know, for instance, our matchmaker. Now I push all of our guys. I'm like, hey, call the UFC guys. This isn't a huge. Everyone thinks this world's so big, but like, call Joe Silva. I bet you can get a hold of him. He reached out to Joe Silva, and Joe Silva gives him a call. You know, so I think that's what you have to be successful. There's no, I mean, you really can't build a company on your own back. I mean, you can, I guess, to some extent, but it's gonna kill you. So why not put together the best team and everyone go out and own their departments and rock and roll through it. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have a great product. And there's nothing more rewarding to me than to look back, you know, the fourth or fifth fighter, let's say main event's rolling up. You look out and the crowd is just packed out. Everyone's having a great time. You're walking through the crowd and you just, you know, no one knows who you are. No one knows how an NV3 fighter and thing, but you just see everyone just enjoying it, loving it, having a great time. The energy's up, and that's the biggest thing with our shows to always brag about, is our energy. But again, I think that comes along with production and the fights in general too. But the production and the energy level, you know, we always keep something's always happening in our fights. When the fight's not going on, we always try to have something going on within the crowd and, you know, within the cage and stuff like that. Not like a chance team or anything, but we get good music going, and it's just a good feeling. So there's not a better feeling to me than to look at all that stuff and seeing everything firing off right, seeing my team just smoking their departments and killing everything they're doing all throughout the night. And it's like, boom, man, this is what we're about. You guys did an awesome job. And, you know, now we get to go to the after party and drink and talk about all this hard work we did and how great it feels. And, you know, you spent all this time away from your friends and your family, and look what we're doing.
Absolutely. And I know you have an event coming up next week. After that, prior to your next event, can I get you back on here? And I'd like to really kind of pick your brain about some of the ins and outs of owning a promotion and dealing with some of the nonsense behind the stage. So that's kind of the way. I mean, that's the stuff I really enjoy talking about. Is that okay if I can get you back on?
Yes, definitely, man. I'm very thankful you guys are, you know, reaching out to us and getting us on here and stuff with you. I mean, I love talking MMA. Everyone on my team loves talking
MMA.
So,
Listen, Nick, before I let you go real quick, let everybody know where they can find you. Tell everybody, you know, pitch your event next week. I mean, you got a big event, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really, really, really looking forward to Julia Willis versus Eli McLaughlin next week. You know, I talked to Eli, and I'm talking to his brother tonight. I kind of want to pick his brother's brain about fighting on the same card with his brother. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the fight next week. So tell everybody where they can find you guys on social media, and then tell everybody where they can find the event next week, man.
Yeah, all right. So, you know, we're all over Facebook. We're Facebook junkies. You can find us at facebook.com/V3Fight. You can go to V3Fights.com. That's our website. Twitter, @V3Fights. Just so everyone knows, V3 Fights, the V3 stands for Vinny Vidi Vici, which means I came, I saw, I conquered. You know, this is the fight next week, September 28th. You can watch it live at GFL.TV. It's going to be an amazing card. You have to tune in and watch it. And, hands down, if you don't enjoy it, we will give your money back. If you watch that entire fight card and you say, you know what, I want my $10 back, we will send you your $10 back.
$10 to get in to watch the
well, no,
I think
it's the watch.
It's going to be the
watch
fight
live. Yeah.
Do you have any sponsors you want to thank before I let you go, my friend?
We do have a handful of sponsors, and I know I'm going to leave one out and get a call from Mike King later on about it. But Budweiser's been with us from day one. They'll always believe in us. You know, we love those guys. They're huge to us. A couple of new sponsors. We got Body for Life. We got El Paton. Saatchi's, a little clothing design place that does a lot of stuff with us, been with us for a while. But, you know, if I forgot, I know I forgot some, but I love all you guys. So, again, thank you guys for having us on. We can't thank you guys enough. This is what makes us enjoy doing this also. And, you know, I know you guys take time away from your own family and your life and everything to do this stuff too. So,
oh, man.
Thank you guys for doing this. This is what's going to make the sport bigger and better and continue to grow as strong as it has today.
Absolutely, Nick. And, I want to apologize before I let you go real quick. I had a frog in my throat when we first started, and I was telling you guys off the air. I was like, I'm coughing. I had you on mute, and I'm just coughing. So I apologize to you. I want to talk to you again when I'm not, choking on something in my throat. So I apologize. But I'm looking forward to your fights next week, my friend. You have a great, great promotion. And to be honest with you, anybody that can get my 7-year-old son to sit and watch something on TV longer than 18 seconds, if you're not SpongeBob, you got something good. And he was talking about you guys for a couple of days. So I appreciate it. I'm going to be watching next week, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Nick, have a great night. And have a great
you
event
too.
Next week, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Good night.
All right, but my man Nick, dealing with my – I was struggling. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I was struggling. I was, coughing, acting, the whole shebang. I was not good, man, and I apologize to everybody. Nick Harmeyer, the owner and president of V3 Fights, I don't even know how to say that, that Italian thing, but the V3 Fights, Victory Fights, next week, big event next week, Eli McLaughlin, Jaleel Willis, huge event. I didn't get a chance to talk to him about it as much as I want to. Josh, I got to thank you, man. You picked me up and you helped the brother out. Thank you, man.
Oh, you're welcome.
Holy smokes, dude. You have no idea what I was going through back here. So it was not fun for me. And it was ugly. So, Carl, I know we got to pay bills. And, I know this whole, first 20 minutes was, throw it in a blender and we'll figure it out. But, my man, you got some bills to pay?
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
I got to be honest with y'all. I've done a lot of, MMA stuff. I've been involved with MMA Madhouse for a long time, and I've seen a lot of sponsors come and go, and I've seen a lot of people be involved. But Jax Media, Monday we're gonna, I think I'm gonna let Carl make that announcement later on in the show. But Monday's a big day for us here at MMA Madhouse, and Jax Media is very involved with that. And just looking at some of his product and some of the stuff he does, and just knowing the man that he is, I've talked to him. I've had a chance to spend some time with him. I really believe that Jax Media is absolutely the way to be if you have any kind of multimedia stuff going on. And, that's the man to get in touch with. But I think before I get really talking, I want to bring in Mark. I think his nickname is the Main Event Jones. And I got to be honest, before I even get Mark in here to talk to him, I watched some of his fights and I watched an interview with him, and I was very taken back, and I think y'all are going to be too. Mark Jones fights for V3, and Mark, are you there, my friend?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. Mark, do you have a an English accent? Where are you from, my friend?
I'm actually from Virginia, from Southwest Virginia.
Really? Was there another Mark Jones that fought main? Was his nickname the main event? That's you. You sounded. I gotta be honest with you, man. I watched an interview with you on YouTube, and you sounded like you had an English accent. I watched a couple of your fights, and I was very impressed with your skills. And then when you got in front of the microphone, I thought I was talking to an Englishman. So.
Well, I have a good mixture. I lived in outside Chicago for a while. I was born in Louisiana, and I lived in Southwest Virginia for most of my life. So I got kind of a big mix and jumble of things, I guess.
I was very excited. I was going to talk to you about, like, some, you know, the royal wedding and the royal baby, and I was going to get all fired up with this. Mark,
yeah,
I was
on that.
So, I got to be honest. I watched a couple of your fights over the last week, and, man, you're very impressive. You got some serious, ground skills, man. Is that something you're comfortable with being on the ground?
Well, first, thank you. Thank you very much. But here recently, since I've been down here for American Jiu-Jitsu, that's really – my ground game's really taken off, especially off my back. Typically, I don't want to spend most of the fight on my back, but I just get so comfortable there, I kind of find myself there even when I don't want to be.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that was one of the fights that I watched. You kind of got yourself in a predicament, and then you got in your back, put him, you know, you got him in a guillotine, and that was it. I mean, it was not long after you had him in a guillotine that, you know, you're raising your hand. So, unless I'm thinking of, like, I don't know, the royal baby Mark Jones. I don't know what I'm thinking. No. Mark, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit of how you got started in MMA. How do you want to get punched in the face for a living, brother?
Well, it started out when I was younger. Just, you know, every little boy's got some kind of fantasy in their mind about being some kind of a warrior. And, you know, I was watching Power Rangers growing up, just wanting to fight and fight the bad guys. And so I got into karate when I was, I'd say, 9 or 10. Did that for a few years and really liked it. But I felt like we did a lot of tournaments, and I did well in tournaments, but it was kind of really light contact. It wouldn't let me really go and fully show my real skills. You know, I had to hold back. And then I started wrestling in high school, and I just fell in love with it, you know, getting to go, like, full out all the time. Then, you know, just after wrestling, it was just the next step, just being able to combine, you know, my karate skills and my wrestling skills and just let it all out.
Mark, this is Josh here.
Yes.
How you doing, brother?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. A couple of questions I want to ask here is, can you tell us about your opponent? What's his name? Maybe what kind of style he is, and what you look forward to going to this fight?
Yeah, my opponent is Zach Fierce. I believe he's out of Missouri. He's a really good wrestler. He wrestled in college for 4 years. He's undefeated right now. Going in, I could only find one fight on them, so I don't know a whole lot about him. I just know that there's a crazy amount of hype behind him. He's got a lot of backing. A lot of really good guys are saying that he's, you know, the next big thing. Going into this fight, I'm looking to hopefully keep it standing, kind of stay away from his strength, and apply my game plan of staying on the feet.
Okay. Now, you say he's a wrestler. Now, are you more of a jiu-jitsu type of guy yourself, or you like to stand up? Or?
It's funny. I started out with a standing base, and then I did wrestling for a while. So during my fights, I was mainly a wrestler with some jiu-jitsu. But now I think I've transitioned even to that. To mainly, I feel really comfortable on the ground. That's kind of my main thing, but I really do like to trade, and So if it stays standing, I'm happy with that.
Now, do you have a certain submission that you like the most?
I'd say, well, of course, you know, mount, and actually, I think I like side control better, specifically Kisa, because once I get that head in an arm, you know, I just feel like I have the most control, can do the most damage.
Now, coming into this fight, what's your record will be?
My official record is 7-4. My unofficial is 8-5.
Now, do you have any plans of maybe going pro soon, or are you just going to try to stick it out as an amateur, and or anything like that?
Going pro is always in the back of my mind. It seems like every time I actually plan to go pro, I end up having some bad luck in the fight. So kind of putting off the thought of going pro until I can prove myself against the top 10 who I've been fighting recently. So hopefully I'll get string together a few wins and maybe get a big title, and then I'll think about going pro.
Hey, Mark, how do you know when you're ready to go pro? Like, is that something that you and the team sit down and talk about, or is that something that you yourself, like, give me the behind-the-scenes stuff with, you know, Mark, the main event. Tell me how those conversations go.
Well, you know, back home when I first started doing MMA in Virginia, it was kind of just, you know, I was kind of thinking when I would go pro is all kind of just me thinking out loud to myself. And I was having success in my fights, but I wasn't getting, you know, super high-quality opponents. And so it didn't really matter. You know, they were really tough opponents, but nobody knew who they were, so I didn't really get any recognition for that. Well, now that I'm down here, I'm on these bigger shows and facing these guys that everybody knows, and they're successful and they're in the top 10, you know, in the state. And I think that really is when you start talking. You know, me and my coach, Jason Carley, we always sit down and, you know, discuss it. You know, he says, you know, if we win this fight, you know, I think it's time to really start preparing you to go pro. And
sure.
I think how you really know is it's just being successful, you know, having enough experience where you've faced every level of opponent. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, they try to rush it. They'll have success early on, and then but they'll only face one type of guy. Maybe they'll only face, you know, some strikers, and they're a really good wrestler. Maybe they're a really good jiu-jitsu guy and only face strikers and just, you know, tap them out all the time. And then they go pro, and they don't have the success that they did as an amateur. So I think it's really just about getting, you know, that level of experience and having those really tough fights to know, let you know that you're going to go pro.
That's really interesting to me, because I just imagine in my head, like, how I'm going to, you know, talk to somebody to, you know, go against a professional, you know, guy that wants to beat my face in kind of stuff. Anyway, how long have you been with Green? How did you... Because I watched another fight, I think, I don't know if it was pre or you, I don't know if you have an exclusive deal. I don't know how that works, but how long have you been with V3? You know, what kind of organization are they, and, you know, how do they treat you? And I'm not trying to drag you into a – I mean, it's not a loaded question. I'm really not trying to,
right,
you know, start anything or anything. But, you know, just tell me a little bit about your relationship with V3, if you wouldn't mind.
It's amazing. I mean, V3 is
– yeah,
is just the top of the line. I call them the UFC for Amies, because they really put on, you know, one of the best shows around.
Yeah.
They always start on. They're very professional. They treat you like professionals. They don't treat you like, you know, some guy that they pull out of a bar or something, you know, on a weeknight. They really treat you like you're a world-class athlete, and I think that's the difference. I think, you know, they're putting the time and the effort into making us well-known, and it's just amazing. I think I've been with them for since, I want to say, beginning of the year, I think March, maybe? because I fought on 3SC, another great promotion out of Tennessee. I finally got on the card for them, and I won my fight pretty decisively early on. And they saw that, and then they grabbed me and asked me if I wanted to be on their card. So, you know, naturally I said yes, and just took it from there. So I fought twice for V3, and it's been a great experience every time.
Are you fighting on the card next weekend? Are you on that event?
Yes. Yeah.
You are. Okay. No, I apologize because I didn't see the whole fight card, so I apologize that I just asked that question. I'm not, you know. Tell me, now you're a week out. Now, I've never been in a cage with anybody. Take me through where you're at right now in your camp. I know your camp's probably wrapping up, right? You got some requirements coming up here by, you know, by V3 and stuff. So I'm assuming your camp is either wrapping up shortly or it has wrapped up. Where are you at now? Like, what do you work on from here to there? I mean, you're a week away from your next fight. So where are you at mentally, I guess?
Well, right now, it's kind of it's just far enough away to where it's not, like, daunting. I just focus on the weight cut because right now this is kind of my last day of being fat and happy. The rest of this week is cut, you know, get the rest of that weight off. And in training, in our sessions now, it's a lot more toned down. You know, I'll have, like, one or two more strength and conditioning sessions, and really it's just about technique and knowing what your game plan is and being comfortable with it.
So, I mean, you're really still in camp right now. I mean, you're going to go tomorrow. I don't know, maybe tomorrow is, you know, just hypothetically speaking, you're going tomorrow to train. You're still training, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to keep it fresh in your mind. It's not going to be a grueling training session like, you know, the weeks, 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out, you know, those are the ones where you come in and let everyone punch you in the face for 45 minutes to an hour and a half,
sure.
You know, however long coach decides. But it is a training session, you know. It's where we kind of refine everything that we've been going over for the whole camp.
Sure. And I'm not asking you to give away any of your secrets, but what have you really worked on? What have you really focused on this camp, maybe as opposed to others, or maybe you just, like, refining something. Like, what do you feel that you really are like, I'm good. This fight, last fight maybe, I struggled a little bit, but this fight, I'm good, man.
The biggest thing is my strength and conditioning. My strength and conditioning, because the last two fights I have, I fought, you know, the state champ, and then I fought Eli McLaughlin, who's number three. He's actually fighting for the V3 title.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
mm-hmm.
My weakness was really exposed, and that was my wrestling defense. And a big part of that, though, was mainly my strength and conditioning. I didn't spend enough time in the weight room, focus a lot more on technique and maybe speed. But that's all well and good until somebody is just as fast as you or, you know, just as technical as you, but they've been spending their time in the weight room. And, you know, that's where you lose. So I got my Justin Loudon, he's a personal trainer at the gym that I work at. So I hooked up with him and he's, you know, took me to a whole different level as far as my strength conditioning. I'm a lot stronger, and also it's easier to make the weight cut because I'm almost already there, you know, instead of just, you know, being real fat and then cutting all the muscle, just, you know, by sweating it out. I'm already, you know, I'm eating a lot healthier and everything like that. So my strength and conditioning is the biggest thing. And then my wrestling defense.
Sure. Now, sorry. I had a great question, a great follow-up question, and I lost it. We do have a caller, though, my friend. Somebody, I got to be honest with you. You were the first one that's drawn a caller, so I'm a little hesitant. I'm not hesitant. I'm very excited to hear the call. Caller, how are you, my friend?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that. Can you say it again?
I'm just saying we have a caller that wants to ask you a question.
Oh, cool.
Melissa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead and ask Mark your question.
I was wondering, have you ever been intimidated by anybody that's been heavier than you? Have you ever gotten stuck in that position?
Oh, absolutely. My two fights ago, actually, Give Try, I don't know if you know him or not, but he is a giant of a man at 155 pounds. And it was very intimidating being on bottom, you know, trying to prevent that giant from punching me in the face. So, yeah, you get intimidated, but you got to, you know, just rely on your training. And
right.
That's what really saved me from getting injured through the fight.
I mean, the reason why I asked this is in my school, I deal with this every day of the week. I've got this kid, actually a bunch of kids, they're like 80 pounds heavier than me. I'm like stuck sparring against them all the time. Me being a female, it's like, oh my God,
yeah.
Holy crap.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, I understand that 100%. We have some giants that they put me against, and I'm like, why in the world would they even, you know, think to do that to me? But it really only helps you. You know, when you go against somebody who's bigger and stronger, it allows you to work on your technique that much better. And if you can get technical enough to where you can roll against them, when you get somebody who is your size, you know, it makes it that much easier.
It's funny you say that. You sound just like my coach.
Hey, Melissa, before I let you go, how old are you and how long you been working? You know, I don't want to take too much away from Mark.
I'm 30.
You know, get your best.
And I've been training this about 4 or 5 months, but I have prior Taekwondo training.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Melissa, I want to thank you for calling in. And do me a favor, call back in. If you can call back in next week, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more, but I really want to get Pickmark's brain. So I appreciate you calling in tonight, Melissa. Thank you.
All right, sure thing.
All right.
Have a good one, Melissa.
You too. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
You bite.
All right, Mark. So let me ask you. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask. I get all excited when I see callers and I get a chance to put fans with some fighters. So you talked about your weight cut. And this like the biggest phenomenon for me, you can go back and listen to any of my shows that I've ever done. This more than anything in my life I really struggle with. Now I like to eat. I'm a big guy, let's not kid ourselves. I cannot wrap my head around a weight cut. What are you fighting at next Friday, next Saturday? I'm sorry, 1 week from the 70s. What are you fighting at? What weight class?
I'm fighting in the 155-pound division.
And where are you at right now? If you step on the scale, where are you at right now?
I don't know if I should say that on air. I'm just kidding. I'm around 170 right now.
170? I'm bad at math. That's 15 pounds to me, right?
Yeah, it sounds pretty big, yeah.
Is that normal? How do you do that? Like, good God, take me through a weight cut.
Well, used to, it was horrible because I'm like you. I like to eat, you know, where I'm from, we don't have diets, you know. We eat, you know, whatever, you know, whenever, you know. My old coach, he was just a meat eater. He didn't care about that. He didn't care about diets. He made his weight and he ate his food. But throughout my career, you know, especially recently, I found, you know, how important it is to diet, because when you diet, you can eat more, so you feel more fulfilled. It keeps your metabolism going, and with all that, you're getting all the nutrients that you need while you're cutting that weight. So, like, before I would just, you know, dehydrate myself to the max, you know, spitting in the cup, you know, on the way up and everything, and it was just, you know, terrible, because used to I even fought at 145 pounds, and I would weigh, you know, 165 pounds, you know, 2 weeks out.
Jesus.
A lot of guys do what?
Go ahead.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
You talk about your that this week will be your cut week. What all do you basically have on your diet plan? Do you can you tell us what you basically eat and everything?
Oh yeah. Well, typically, normally,
I stick to very, very basics. You know, I have my protein source, which is generally like my baked tilapia or baked chicken. I'll have a green of some sort, green beans, you know, broccoli, spinach, and then I'll have usually a source of carbs like brown rice or something. But that's a little further out, like a 2 weeks away, I'll be eating that. And then I'll slowly start to cut out the carbs, because that is kind of where when I hit my plateaus as far as my weight goes, it's usually my carbs holding that weight. So I'll cut out my carbs. Like this week, I won't be eating the rice or any kind of wheat or bread. I'll be cutting that out. And I'll stick to a lot more watery foods that, you know, aid in losing the water retention that you have.
How many? All right, Mark. How many pounds are you able to lose? Like you go. Like what do you have to be at prior to? And I'm sorry, this turned into a nutrition class because I really am. But
oh, no worries. I like fast nutrition. I do this all the time.
Well, this is like the biggest phenomenon in my life. I just don't understand. Like I wrestled, you know, finger quotes. Let me just give you my background in wrestling. I was getting on the scale for weigh-ins, and I was a couple pounds overweight. And I actually took my clothes off down to my underwear, and I held my clothes in my hand to get on the scale. And my coach was like, "You idiot! You had the clothes in your hand. You just took off your body." So that's my mentality of weight. And that's a legit story too. But take me through, like, so Saturday night you fight. You Friday at weigh-ins, morning of the weigh-ins, you weigh, what, one, how much?
Oh, actually, you know, I'm a little bit different than most people. Most people, they wake up early on weigh-in day and they cut however much weight that they cut. I'm a little different. I like to make weight that Thursday, if at all possible. Like that night, I want to be around 58, 57, and then when I wake up the next morning, hopefully I'll be around, you know, 56, 55, which is the limit. And then I just won't eat or drink anything for that day. And it sounds kind of bad because it sounds like, you know, I'm not getting my nutrients that I need and my you know, liquids that I need. But for me, it's a mental thing. Like I don't have to strain myself the entire day, you know, of weigh-ins, because, you know, we don't weigh in until like 7 o'clock anyway.
Right.
So it's just
so
me kind of...
Go ahead and finish.
I was saying it's me kind of mentally just resting, because, you know, a lot of guys, you know, it's just one stress that I don't like to have. I like to make the weight and know that I've made it and just kind of relax the day of the weigh-ins as much as possible.
All right, fair enough. Now, let me ask this. Are you married, girlfriend, fiance? You know, what do you – did there somebody in your life that you know, you call your significant other?
Oh, absolutely. Samantha, she's my wife.
All right, fair enough. Now, does Samantha, the week prior to your fight, does she just get away from you as far as possible? Are you like a prick – are you a prick bastard to her, or does she understand weight cut too?
She understands it, but she does not like it.
That's the same answer I get from everybody. So are you a dick? Are you a dick to everybody? You don't mean to be, and I get it, because I'm sure you have a lot of friends, and I'm sure you got a lot of people that are supportive to you and that are, you know. But today are they just like? Let me just tell you this, because I had a buddy, I was my best friend, quit smoking, smoked for like 28 years, quit smoking. Like 3 days later, I bought him a pack of cigarettes. I'm like, "You're a dick, man. Smoke these cigarettes. Is that like buy any burgers and like eat this shit? Because you're a dick."
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it's like. You know, when typically we drive up together on a day away, and I'm miserable, and I know she's miserable, and she tries her best to put up with me, but I'm something else.
Mark, let me ask you this before you get going. And listen, I got to be honest with you. I watch a bunch of your fights because I knew we were talking tonight. Take me through some of the fights. I mean, you got some great – you're very good on your back, man. You did a great job. I can't remember that gentleman's name that you submitted off your back. You know, kind of take me through your – you know, I know Josh asked you a little bit about your opponent and stuff. Take me through a little bit of your game I'm not asking you to give up anything, but take me through a little bit of your game plan. What are you really looking to do, really kind of focus on in this fight?
Well, staying off my back for one.
Yeah, exactly. No, I understand that.
I know he's a really good wrestler, and so I think my stand-up is one of my strengths, and as much time as I, you know, have spent on it and spent on the jiu-jitsu part, I really am just very comfortable standing up with people, and I don't know why, just when I get in the cage, it's just there. It kind of stems from my roots in karate, I suppose, but I think it's sprawl and brawl, basically, you know. He's got a lot of reach. He's a taller guy, but I'm going to sprawl on him and hopefully get in his face with some striking.
Hey, Mark, I know you said that your opponent, he's a wrestler. Have you been mostly pertaining to your takedown offense during your training camp?
Yes. I've got two guys who are former Division I wrestlers, and they are kicking my butt in the wrestling department. So, you know, we've been working rigorously on my takedown defense. We know it's one of my weaker aspects of the game. So, yeah, we spend a lot of time on it.
Mark, before I let you go, my friend, I know you I appreciate you putting up with my nonsense and, you know, kind of.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I really thought you were English, and I really thought you were going to tell me about the Queen, and I thought we were going to talk about all that stuff. And I'm, you know, as much as I'm disappointed, I had a great conversation with my brother. Listen, before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find you. Social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter. If you got Instagram, listen. If you got Instagram, Pinterest. I'm down with Pinterest. I'm okay with that. where they can find it. Talk about your sponsors. How they can find Mark Jones.
Awesome. Well, I only have Facebook right now. It's just Mark Jones, pretty plain. There's a lot of us out there, but I think you'll be able to recognize me by my picture. I think what we're going to do is my wife is going to get me all the other social media outlets. So they'll be coming soon. I'll be putting them on my Facebook, and she'll just be running them and telling me when I need to do what I need to do on them. But I will have those soon. But I just want to thank my team, American Jiu-Jitsu, my awesome coach, Coach Carly. He, you know, he puts his heart and soul into training this game changer. You know, Jason Pauley, he's so passionate about the sport and what he does, and he sponsors almost every guy on V3. I want to thank V3. V3 is awesome. All those guys that run V3, they're very professional and just take it to the next level. And I also want to thank my family, Samantha, my lovely wife. She's amazing. She for putting up with me, and you guys. You know, all the media outlets that take the time to cover us and you know,
yeah,
give us the opportunity to get out there.
Now, let me ask you. I didn't see your Facebook page yet. I'm going to request you when we're done with the show tonight. But is the picture on your Facebook? Is it you standing on a scale? You know, given the fist pumps and your wife Samantha behind you with the middle finger up, being like, "You son of a bitch!" You is that your
that used to be. We had to take it down.
All right, my brother. Listen, I wish you nothing but the best of luck next week, and I'm going to be watching on GFL. And you know, I mean, I'm very excited for you. I gotta be honest, man. You really. And I wasn't kidding when I talked to the owner, Nick, a little while ago when I said that V3, and we were watching a lot of your fights, my sons and I, and you really, like, captivated my son. He's 7 years old, and the guy's got the attention span of a gnat. So you did a great job, my brother. I'll be watching this week, so I'll be looking forward to it. We'll have you back on soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You do the same.
That is Mark. There's Mark Jones, and he is not English, man. That really, truly is. He's not English. He doesn't know the Queen. He doesn't know the royal baby. And, you know, whatever. Carl, I know you're yelling at me, man, and I know we got some stuff going on. I'm sorry. I struggled early on, so Carl, let's pay my electric bill, man, because I got no lights. Carl, pay some bills.
Psycho. Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Clinch custom mouth guards, probably the best in the business. You know, if I was doing anything more than just, like, I can't put a mouth guard in to eat, but if I was doing anything more than eating, I would have a Clinch custom mouth guard. You know, they'll put anything, they'll slap a picture in there, they'll put anything you want in there, man. These guys are the best in the business. There is none better than Clinch custom mouth guards. There is none better than Jack's Media. There is none better than MMA Madhouse. I don't have to say, Carl, I got to apologize to you, my friend. I know you've been working hard. I know we kind of got wrapped up. I got to apologize to you. We got running a little bit late. I had a frog in my throat. I mean, it was helter-skelter, and I just want to apologize to you, man. You okay back there? You sweating? You got your brow a little, running a little heavy or what?
I'm like a platypus, man.
You are. Without further ado, last week we talked to Eli McLaughlin. This week we talked to Rudy McLaughlin. Rudy, you there, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Sir, listen, let's drop that sir stuff right off the bat, man. Every time you say sir, I look around for my mother. So I don't want to talk about the sir stuff. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are y'all guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Great.
Listen, tell me about, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know Josh knows you. Josh talked about your brother a lot. I don't know anything about you, my friend, so please do me a favor. Kind of walk me through who Rudy McLaughlin is. How'd you get started? Give me the background of yourself.
All right. Well, basically, me and Eli got started through my dad, William McLaughlin, who's a black belt now in a few different martial arts. And I started when I was 7 years old. Basically, dad started, and he was doing it a few years, and then he'd come home and show me and Eli some stuff, and then we got interested, and we would drive about an hour to Sherwood every day to train, or not every day, but once a week to train, and we did that for 10 years, and then the dad ended up wanting to open up a gym, so we ended up doing that, and basically we just kept growing and growing. And then here we are today.
Rudy, I asked your brother last week, because you guys are both fighting on next week's card. I said, tell me a little bit, because you're fighting the first fight of the night. He's fighting the last fight of the night. And I asked him, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him. How do you, because I know you guys are probably each other's biggest supporter, man. I know you guys, your brothers, and what do they say, that the most enduring friendship that you ever make is with a sibling, because you're gonna be friends for life. So tell me about how you feel going into be the first fight, knowing your big brother is gonna fight on the last fight of the night, fighting for a title. How do you kind of like keep your emotions in check, man? Is that difficult, or
I'm actually kind of happy that I'm fighting first, because I don't get really nervous whenever I fight, but watching Eli fight, I feel like I'm about to throw up. So really, many of our teammates, I get sick to my stomach watching them. But whenever I go out there, it's just like in the gym. It's just kind of funny. So yeah, he got the bad end of the deal on this one.
So you're good with him coming out and like you're kind of like, thumbing your nose to him, being like, listen, I'm going to be done by the time you're thrown up in the bucket because you're so nervous going into your title fight, kind of.
Say that again?
I said, you're kind of thumbing your nose at your brother, being like, listen, I got the better end of this deal because you're going to be worried about, you know, your fight when I'm already done and changed into my street clothes watching you, so I'm good, man. Is that kind of the way you're thinking?
Yes, sir. Yeah, he probably actually won't even get to watch me fight because he feels the same way, and it always gets his adrenaline pumping watching me fight. That's what he tells me, and it's the same way for me. So it's really hard to, you know, both of us to fight the same night because whoever fights first, you know, we don't get to watch that person fight. We'll have to watch it on DVD or YouTube later.
I got to be honest with you. That's exactly the answer he gave me. He said, I can't watch the fight. I can only walk him out to the cage, you know, tell him I love him, give him a hug, and I have to leave because I'm so worked up for his fight that I can't get worked up for my fight. So I don't know how long you guys been training together. I don't really know how much you guys, how much energy you put into each other's fights. But that's exactly the same answer that he said. So, Josh,
You would think we would get used to it by now, you know, after so many fights that we've had together throughout the years. But still, I get way too sick for it. It's hard for me to watch it live. Even that main event fight, I'll be turning my head and screaming like a little girl out there.
Hey, Rudy, I know you and your brother, growing up in a martial arts style family, Did y'all ever get a little jealous over one another or have any fights with each other growing up?
Eli was actually the fighter originally. I was always the lover of the family. I was the gentle one as a kid. And Eli fought for a few years before I ever started. And then five world title belts from whenever we were younger, kickboxing, and I believe it was his third one that he won in a row down in Orlando, Florida. He ended up winning the title, and he called and told us. And I was training and everything. I just never had the itch to actually get in there and fight. And then he called and told us about it, and that's whenever I got my mind set that I wanted to start fighting and stuff too. And it wasn't really a jealous thing. It was more of he was like a role model for me, along with, you know, my dad and my mom. My mom doesn't train. She doesn't want anything to do with it. But she's at every fight. You know, she's out there supporting us. And I wanted to be part of that, you know, the fighting family with them. And I always wanted to. It's just I was never really brave enough to. And then after Eli kind of started paving that path for me, you know, it was a lot easier to step into it.
Now, I know your brother, he's fighting for the title this weekend. Have you had any chances to fight for any kind of titles, or do you hopefully plan on fighting for one soon? Or?
Yes, sir. Actually, I think it was last month. I'm pretty sure it was last month. Me and him actually fought in Tunica, Mississippi the same night, and I fought one fight before him, and he didn't get to see me. But we both fought for title belts for Tunica, and I got the welterweight title, and then he got the lightweight title to fight immediately after mine. So me and him, we have several title belts of our own throughout the years. And then, like I said, that last month, it's pretty much like this card. I've got the number one contender fight, and he's got the actual title fight itself. So we're used to, you know, fighting for the titles and things like that. So it's not really going to get his mind off of it or my mind off of it, you know, getting the label put on it. It's just another little motivator that helps you just be.
Now, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to know, I just wanted to talk about mom. We talk about dad all the time and dad being this, you know, the mixed martial arts guy. Tell me about mom. What is going through her mind right now? That maybe not tonight, but next Friday or next Saturday early afternoon. What does mom go through? Is she? I mean, I'm sure she's supportive. You know, she loves her family, but you know, is it kind of like an emotional roller coaster for her, or is she just really kind of cool, laid back kind of stuff, and then Sunday morning she's like, holy crap?
Oh, she is a nervous wreck for sure. Whenever we're out there, she hates watching the video camera, the video afterwards, because she can hear herself yelling on the camera. And it's really hilarious to listen to. Now she'll, like, catch herself and watch what she says, and, like, because she knows that she'll start yelling, go, Rudy, go, Rudy, go, and, like, and get embarrassed watching it. And then my mammal is even crazier. She'll have her cane standing by my mom and, like, start hitting the ground with the cane and stuff. They're pretty crazy as well, so they keep us in line, though, that's for sure.
Rudy, how old's mamma, dude? How old is she?
Mom or mammal?
Your grandma, how old is she?
Let's see, I think she is 57. I'm not sure, that's what that is.
Good for her, man. She's out there. She's, you said she's got a cane. I don't know her medical condition clearly, but, I mean, good for her being out there supporting her family. Good for her. And I feel bad for anybody. Well, I feel bad for anybody that beats up her boys because, I mean, she got a cane, man, so. You guys are fighters, so she's got a little fighter blood in her, too. So we're going to catch a cane upside the head.
Well, she got a pretty bad wreck several years ago, and that's why she has to have the cane and stuff. But besides that, she's pretty healthy overall. I mean, she's able to go to the fights
cool. And
help support us.
That's very cool, man. That's
yeah.
very cool, man. I wish, that's very good stuff. Eli didn't give us any of that. He was all business last week, and I'm not saying you're not, but, you know, that's good stuff, man, that you have all the support of all your family, man. To be honest with you, what do they say? It takes a village to raise a family. You know, you got to have some supports, man. You got to have some people that are willing to be in your corner, you know, figuratively and, literally.
It always helps having people support you throughout the training camp and everything like that. And, sure. I mean, you know, after you win titles and stuff like that, there's always going to be those people that are there, you know, saying they were help supporting you and stuff. But
of course,
now everybody always has the people that were there from the get-go and, you know, always help support them.
Hey Rudy, now I want to get back to you a little bit. And I know your brother is sponsored by Game Changer Clothing. Is that also one of your sponsors, or do you have any sponsors or anything?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jason Pauly with the Game Changer Clothing. He's definitely one of our sponsors. He sponsors several of our guys out of Verada MMA, and he's got our custom walkout shirts, and he actually just hooked me up with a new mouthpiece from the Iron Jaw custom mouth guards, and I love it. It's the best mouthpiece I've ever had. I'll be wearing it this next fight.
Now, is that your biggest sponsor, or do you have any other sponsors also? Or
no, sir, that's it right there. It's just Game Changer, and then the Iron Jaw team up, and then besides that, it's just the gym helping you know put every little piece together.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about Barada MMA? I've heard a bunch of news about all your fighters that come out of there. I've heard they're outstanding fighters that come out of there. Can you tell me a little about your gym?
Yes, sir. It's actually in Searcy, Arkansas, and my dad runs it, William McLaughlin. He's a first-degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and a third degree in kickboxing under Joe Lewis Fighting System. We've got Wade Johnson out of that gym. We've got my brother fighting for the title, Eli McLaughlin. We got Bryce Mitchell. He's a 6-0. He just fought on the last V3 Underground, actually, and he's looking to start heading for that actual main event V3 title belt pretty soon, too. And we've got some guys under us, too, that are up and coming that people really need to be looking out for, you know, even more than me. We got some scary guys coming up.
Sounds like y'all doing some great work in there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
The cool thing about our gym, too, is most of our guys aren't even fighters. They just do it for the healthy benefits of martial arts, and I love that about them. That, you know, they'll come in the gym and help push people that are fighting, even though they don't have to do that, but they come in and help people that are fighting. They'll put their body on the line for us, and then that's the reason why we get our hands raised. Is, you know, the people that help us in the gym, just giving them extra bodies to work with and everything like that. And that's another thing about martial arts, not even just our gym, but, you know, people that are just wanting to get healthy and get in shape. Martial arts is a great way to do that. Jiu-jitsu, people love doing jiu-jitsu. We've got cardio kickboxing. We basically have everything that people want to do in the martial arts world at our gym.
Hey, Rudy, let me understand where you're at right now. I mean, you guys, meaning you and your brother, fight next week. Where are you at in your camp? Are you done? Are you guys just kind of walking through some stuff? Are you implementing new game plans, kind of thing? Where are you at right now?
Well, we're never really done training for the fight until after it's over. We've got all the truly hard things out of the way, you know, the running miles after mile and then the pushing the cardio in the gym and getting beat on day in and day out by all our teammates. This next week is more just staying healthy and just keeping the cardio going and then keeping the weight coming off to the actual weigh-in Friday night. And then it'll be time to throw down Saturday.
Now, are you going to be – I'm wondering about your weight cut. Are you going to be ready for weigh-in, you know, Friday morning? Or are you kind of going through like this, you know, rigmarole, this rigid diet kind of thing, starting today, tomorrow, Monday, whatever? Because when I start a diet, listen, if I'm going to start a diet, it's going to be – I'm going to start Monday, and I'm just going to gorge myself as much as I can the rest of the weekend to start a diet on Monday. Walk me through a weight cut, man, because I struggle with a weight cut.
Well, it all just depends on how far I start out for a fight. You know, sometimes sure. I get pretty lazy and fat, and I'll go to Taco Bell way too much.
That's what I'm talking about, brother.
Yeah, and then I have to start pretty far out. But, I mean, for this one, I had a pretty gradual weight cut that was just constant, and I stayed on my diet really well, along with Eli. Eli did really well this fight, too, and we're both going to have pretty easy weight cuts. We're not going to have to kill ourselves this last week like a lot of fighters are going to have to. I mean, we had weight to take off, but we did it the right way, and we got it off healthy, and then that way we'll be even more ready for Saturday night.
See, I'm looking at the clock right now. It's 12:02 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here, and I'm just wondering, you know, I know Taco Bell's open late, so I'm looking to get there now. So I couldn't be a fighter, brother. I give you all the credit in the world. Just before I let you go, I just got one more question. What kind of game plan are you – and I'm not asking you to give anything away because, you know, I don't know who's listening or whatever – what kind of game plan are you looking to take into your fight? Are you really looking to focus on something? Have you been working on something? You really want to try? What kind of stuff are you working on for the fight next Saturday?
Well, the guy I'm fighting, Justin Hartley, he's actually a really good a really good fighter. He's really well rounded, and I really am not going to be looking for a specific game plan. I just feel if I get my hand raised at the end of the night and I'd like to do it preferably before the judge's score calls.
Sure, of course.
As long as I do that, I feel like I'm doing my job. Whether, you know, I get a knockout, I get a submission, just any a TKO, I'll take anything. Or even the judge's scorecard, as long as I do my job dominantly, I'll be all right with it.
Sure. Now, do you – last question, I promise. Do you – in the middle of a fight, do you know – when you have somebody broken, like you're fighting somebody and you know you've been, you know, just tagging this guy right and left and you're putting work in on this guy's face and you just know you've broken him. Is that something that you can see or is that something that you just kind of, you know, work through? I mean, you know, do you know when you have a fight won?
It's different for different guys. I've actually knocked out a couple guys that I did not even expect that to happen, and a lot of times that's how comps work out. If you go in there trying to get the knockout, you're really not going to get it. You have to go in there with an open mind for anything, and the higher level you get, like on these B3 shows, it'll be hard to tell because the better opponent that you have against you, if you hurt them, they're not going to show you that. You have to just stay really strong and just keep pushing it, and eventually, I mean, they're going to break whether they show it or not.
Sure. All right, man. Listen, Rudy, before I let you go, my friend, let everybody know where they can find you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever else you got, and thank all your sponsors. This is your opportunity to let everybody know how they can, get in touch with you.
Yes, sir. You can find me on Facebook at Rudy McLaughlin. It's R-U-D-Y McLaughlin, McLaughlin. And you can actually find me on Instagram and Twitter at the same thing. And then I'd like to just thank everybody out of my gym, Barada MMA, all the teams we cross-train with here and there, Bryce Mitchell, Wade Johnson, Eli McLaughlin, my dad William McLaughlin, Clayton Gray, just everybody that's helped push me through this fight. My mom, this is actually the best that she's done with our diet because she's dieting right now. So when everybody knows when a mom's on a diet, everybody in the house is on a diet. And I'll go ahead and thank Taco Bell for being delicious whenever I'm not fighting. And Game Changer Clothing, I'd really like to thank them, all the hookups they gave us, free shirts and fight shorts, just numerous things that are just greatly appreciated from all of our fights. Irons All Mouth Guards for the hookup with Jason Pauly. Just all the fans, too, that come out and support, not just our fans, but, Justin's fans, Jaleel Willis's fans. Everybody that comes out that makes B3 possible, we really want to thank. And then lastly, I want to thank you guys for allowing me to be on this show. I really appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely. Rudy, listen, one more question. I just got to know because I talked to Eli last week about this. Your walkout music, man. Are you going to let your dad pick that? Because I heard that he's picking things like, Boy George, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Stuff like that. Are you going to be like, Dad, I got this, and it's going to be strictly Vanilla Ice Baby?
What's pretty funny about that is this is the first time I've ever let Dad pick my walkout song, and he picks the Boy George and Marvin Gaye for other fighters, and I'm his son. I'm pretty scared to see what he picks for me.
My friend, listen, well, I wish you the we'll get you and your brother back on. I want to have you on the same show next time. So you fight next week, so maybe we'll talk in a couple weeks, all right? Is that cool?
Yes, sir. That sounds great.
All right, Rudy. Thanks, man. Best of luck this week, and we'll talk again, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, man. That was Rudy McLaughlin. Last week we talked to Eli McLaughlin. We talked to the owner of the B3 Fights. We talked to Jamie. Help me out. Josh, you still out there? Jamie, what was her name?
Yeah. Debbie Milanowski.
Yes, and we talked to Mark Jones, and the list goes on and on, and all these people that work for V3 are just the same people, the same incredible people, very, very humble, very, just thankful for the opportunity they have. So I'm looking forward to the event next week. I'm going to watch for sure, and I'm going to own it for life because I'm GFL. You buy it once, and you own it for life, so that's the way it's going to be. So. Josh, I really want to thank you for joining me for the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure what the future holds for you or us or, whatever, but, we'll get you back out and we'll talk and, we'll see how it goes. All right, my friend?
Awesome. Thanks, man. I had a blast. Y'all, a great radio show. I love MMA Madhouse. I love doing the results at the fights for them. I'm just except with the company and everything.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We got big things coming up. Carl, do you want to pitch something for Monday before we get out of here with a couple more ads, or you just want to let it roll out, or what do we want to do?
Let's see. I better pay a bill first, and then we'll get into that a little bit.
Okay, let's pay a bill first then.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Well, except MMA Madhouse, and that's a great segue into what I think we're going to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know, Intimidation Clothing does do incredible things for local MMA in a whole
Absolutely.
Different way than we do. You know, they're
Absolutely.
sponsoring events and fighters at the local level like no one else, probably on the planet, definitely in North America. But yeah, no, Monday, yeah, looking forward to Monday. We're going to launch the all-new MMAMadhouse.com website, and along with that's going to come our store. You'll be able to find a little bit of Intimidation Clothing in it as well, some of our own gear, and who knows what else. We're still working on it. It's a big job, and we're running a couple days late, but we're on schedule now for Monday. So there you go. There
now
you go.
Let me ask you a question. Oh, I'm gonna interview you for just two questions, real quick. Was this something that you know when you wrapped your head around? Local MMA and MMA Madhouse, is this something that you really envisioned, or was this, you know, is this something that just kind of worked into the dream?
I never really envisioned it at all. You know, at the beginning, I just wanted to create a platform for fighters and, you know, journalists and whatnot as well. You know, at the amateur and lower levels that don't get the time of day from anybody else, I wanted to give them a platform to, you know, hone their skills. And, you know, they need to hone their skills not only in the ring, but they need to hone their skills, you know, dealing with us crazy media people. And I figured, you know, let's do this.
I got to be honest with you, Carl. You and Skippy, the brain children, you are the brain child, and Skippy is your brain cousin, I think, of MMA Madhouse. But I got to be honest with you, you've given my son, who honestly, this is not even a pat on your back. He legitimately has the attention span of a gnat. But when I pull up fight, we talk about different things, and it always comes up to MMA Madhouse, and it just comes into like local and like amateur fighting. He's really enthralled by it. So you gave him and I a platform as well, and you know that. We haven't even really talked about it. So he doesn't watch UFC with me. He doesn't watch Bellator. He doesn't want anything to do with that. But when it becomes YouTube or GFL or something amateur in local MMA, he's all about it. So you don't even know that a seven-year-old loves MMA Madhouse. He doesn't even know that he loves MMA Madhouse. Buddy, so I want to thank you for that. Oh, I'm really looking forward to Monday in the rollout of the store. You know, you and I have talked some business and behind the scenes, and I'm the one that's slacking on my end because you are just a consummate professional, and I'm not here to suck your ass, but I'm here to pat your back. You deserve it because you really have put out a great product, and I really appreciate it. So, Coral, looking forward to Monday's rollout. Skippy, I know you're probably listening because you and Carl don't sleep. All you do is local MMA and local fights. So I appreciate it from you, my friend. So Monday, big day. Rollout for MMA Madhouse, Madhouse Shop? Is that going to be the what?
Shop Madhouse is what it is.
Shop Madhouse. ShopMadhouse.com, MMAMadhouse.com. Big things coming up. Carl, do you have any more bills to pay, or can we just roll out of here and we can, you can go do more work and I'll probably go eat a bag of chips?
I just got one thing. Did you know the platypus is the only animal that has a stinger?
Not even a...
They've got two stingers, man. They're both on the back of their feet.
It's true. He's not lying. And
that's my kid hollering in the corner. Yeah, check it out, man. That's interesting stuff. You know, that's one freaky animal. If I was a fighter,
that's
I'd
the
be
best
Carl
stuff
the Platypus. I'd be Carl the Platypus Mortensen.
Carl, I love working with you, my brother. I really do. I love it. I love it. I love it. Joshua, if you're still listening, if you're still on the line, thanks for joining us. Next week,
thank you.
Saturday, 10:30, 11 o'clock, midnight. Who the hell knows when we get out and we get talking. I look forward to it. By then, you're going to be so busy, I don't know if I'm going to have you because you're already 6 days into the shop, and who knows where you're going to be. You might be just inundated with orders, and I hope it is, man. I hope this is, you know, the big thing for you, brother. I really do. You deserve it. And I look forward to talking to you, Carl.
Right on, as do I. Mr. London, have yourself a great night. And Joshua, thanks again, man. And until
thank
next
you.
Time, we're out of here.
Time to disperse. Party's over.